Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
The flame from a candle is supposed to shed light on a subject, and in the case of Brown's Ferry Nuclear Power Plant in Alabama, it sure did that, and a lot more. On March 22, 1975, a single candle nearly burned one of the reactors at Brown's Ferry to the ground and exposed just how unsafe the nation's nuclear power industry was at the time. The plant actually continued operating for another 10 years before it was shut down in 1985, but now the ill-fated reactor is once again about to go nuclear and begin generating electricity. Peter Gwynn was the science editor for Newsweek back in 1975 and wrote about the Brown's Ferry reactor fire. Hi, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, take us back to that fateful day, March 22nd, 1975. It literally started with a candle.
It did. And a couple of technicians were in one of the corridors just using a candle to sniff out air leaks, which was the normal way of doing things at the time. They found a leak in an area where a lot of cables were going into the control room of the plant, and they decided to repair it with polyurethane foam, which was, again, the standard way of doing things.
Yeah, but the foam, it turns out, wasn't fireproof.
Well, when they tested, two things happened. First, they realized that they hadn't sealed up the leak, and second, the leak that was there sucked in the flame and set the polyurethane on fire. And then the fire really took off despite all their efforts to control it.
And it was right near the control room.
It was, and smoke filled the control room pretty quickly.
But this was sort of like falling down a flight of steps. Everything from then on started going wrong.
All the safety systems, or at least the first series of safety systems, just didn't work. The pumping of the emergency water system started, and then it stopped. And the water in the nuclear reactors, which protect the reactors from melting down, the water gradually started to drop and drop and drop. It dropped from about 200 inches above the fuel rods down to just about 4 feet. And there was real panic in the plant at the time.
They had to scramble the reactor. They shut it down using the last backup system they had.
They shut down the reactor. Even so, it continued to heat up. But finally, they did manage to close it down. And after 7 hours, the fire went out.
It's kind of weird using a candle to inspect a billion-dollar nuclear reactor.
Well, that wasn't only the only weird thing, Bruce. They found later that their technicians had not been trained in safety procedures. They had not tested the polyurethane foam just to check whether or not it was flammable. And a whole series of safety issues, of safety checks, had simply not been performed by the authorities at Brown's Ferry.
What was the mood of the country back then in 1975 to nuclear power? There were 56 reactors operating.
That's correct. Nuclear power seemed really to be the power of the future, the energy of the future, and the country was pretty well disposed towards it. Certainly, there were some nuclear critics. There were some critics of the nuclear industry, but they generally did not have too much credibility with the public. That fire changed everything.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Former Newsweek science editor Peter Gwynn wrote about the accident at Unit 1 of the Brown's Ferry nuclear power plant back in 1975. All three of the reactors at the plant continued to operate for another decade before they were finally taken out of service. Units 2 and 3, which weren't affected by the fire, went back online in the 1990s. And now, more than three decades after the near disaster, there are plans to bring Unit 1 back online. The Tennessee Valley Authority owns the Brown's Ferry plant. Craig Beasley is a spokesman. Craig, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
So what have you done to improve safety at Reactor 1?
Well, we have spent a lot of time over the last 20 years working to make sure that we provide safe and reliable power to the people of the Tennessee Valley. You know, when we brought the units offline in 1985, we did a tremendous amount of work to revamp not only Brown's Ferry, but our nuclear program. And since then, the units have come back and operated very well, very safely, very reliably to provide power.
You've also spent a lot of money, what, $1.8 billion to bring this reactor back online?
That's correct, $1.8 billion. But what we're bringing back is probably the newest old plant in the nation. We've done a lot of work to ensure that the hardware that we have at the plant is not only current, but it's in good condition, and that we have the people and the programs and the processes in place that are going to make sure that we operate this unit safely and reliably.
Wouldn't it be cheaper to just have built a new one from scratch?
You know, when TVA faced with the growing power demands in the area about 5 years ago, we looked not only at new generation, but, you know, purchase power, the cost of other fuels like fossil and gas, and we looked at nuclear power, and this was the most best business decision that we could make financially, operationally, and environmentally for the area and for us.
Any plans to use CandleTech to check for air leaks in the future?
You know, the history of nuclear power is we have a lot of operating experience behind us now. We're talking something 30 years in the past. We've had 30 years of operational experience, and the industry itself has proved to be safe and reliable. If you look at Brown's Ferry now, we certainly have, you know, a reactor that's been there for a long time, but we have lots of digital and state-of-the-art instrumentation and controls, and the way we operate these plants now, maintain these plants now, is certainly state-of-the-art.
Craig Beasley is a spokesman for the Browns Ferry Nuclear Power Plant in Alabama. Mr. Beasley, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Coming up, deliberately changing the climate to reverse global warming. That's just ahead on Living on Earth.